You know what? No pre-interview. I always do this pre-interview and we get into great conversations ahead of before that I hit record on this camera. But we're going to hit record. I stopped doing seasons too with the protectors. I started just numbering the episodes because I kept getting confused about how many episodes are there. So I think we're up to 330-ish episodes.
Yeah.
And now we got Matt Scott here.
Yeah, man. So excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
You know, Matt Scott, we're going to get into your book, but one thing is you have a protagonist name, Matt Scott. Who are we going to call in? We're going to call in Matt Scott. He's a former CIA operative, Delta Dev Group, and a pararescue man. Also, we'll just make up some shit for your protagonist. But no, man, that is an awesome name. And I do appreciate you sending me the book out ahead of time. I have Surviving the Lion's Den by Matt Scott. If you haven't checked it out, check it out now. It's really good. I haven't had a chance to read all of it, but I'm getting into it. I really dig it. I like anything to do with the agency and all that. But Matt, yeah. How you doing today, brother?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I submitted the last edits for book two, and the publisher is working on the cover. I think people are really going to like it. And then I'm working on the edits for book three, actually, and still trying to do some cool things with Surviving the Lion's Den. I've gotten some really, really good feedback from people. It's gotten a really good response from the female readers, which I'm really happy about, because you want to try and, you know, reach a wide audience. So that, you know, they've really liked it. So things are going good right now. Really, it's good. It's good to be a writer for the first time in my life. It feels, you know, all the good stuff is starting to happen.
I like seeing this too. I was prepping for the interview. I was watching your Thriller Zone interview, and talk about an excellent interviewer, man. And that was a really good interview, you two. But the other thing too is, you know, Eric Bishop just put out a awesome book too. The Body Man. And you two have this marketing campaign from, there it is, The Body Man, the marketing campaign you two have going on. And, you know, Eric's got a lot of things going on with people taking pictures everywhere, but you got some cool swag, man. I got an awesome mug, awesome bookmarks, everything like that. But you really do have to be a guerrilla marketer if you're an author now.
Yeah, you do. It's not just about writing the book anymore. You know, in the old days, and when I say old days, I mean 90s and maybe early 2000s, you know, the author wrote the book, you know, and they would go on the book tours, and then the publishers took care of everything else. Or, you know, maybe they, you know, were able to hire publicist. These days, you know, not so much. I mean, if you're one of the big four, you can probably get that. But otherwise, you know, you got to hustle. And Eric, one of the things that Eric did really well, I wish I had done, is he laid a really good foundation before he had his book published. You know, he went to Thriller Fest and he really got to know some of the authors. So that's one of the learnings that I had and I wish I had done. But, you know, I'm getting there. You know, I've made some good friends with Fred Burton, and that's good. And, you know, I put out some good swag. You mentioned the mug here. That's what I gave you. And, you know, had some good reactions for that. And I've got a lot of reasons to be jealous of Eric at this point, just so, because he's really got it going on and he's done the things that I wish I had done. But it is my goal to keep nipping at his heels just a little bit.
Well, the good thing about this community, too, is you don't have to be jealous. You don't, because everybody's going to work with each other and everybody's going to help each other.
Yeah.
You have his book. I have your book. He has your book. Everybody has each other's books and they're all helping each other out. You mentioned Fred Burton. Fred Burton's been on a show a bunch of times. Great guy. And he's going to help you out. So as a new author, you may not have just started writing, but as a new published author, getting your book out there, you're doing the right things. And it may not, you know, when I first put my book out, I was like, oh man, I got to sell everything in the first 2 weeks. But it doesn't really, it, you know, picks up momentum, it goes down, and then all of a sudden it gets in the right audience.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah.
Yeah. And you found a good audience. I do have yours.
There we go. Unwavering, A Border Ease and Journey by Dr. Jason Piccolo.
Yeah, man.
Not my best work. Not my best work, but hey, my next one will be better.
I'm enjoying the stories. I'm about 40 pages into it, I think. Yeah. And I like hearing all the stories because that's, as an author, that's the type of stuff you try to absorb, right? And try and, you know, amend a little bit, you know, when you're writing in the story and you're in the moment, it's like, oh, you know, I remember this guy did this. Let me try and see if I can make this this work a little bit. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The writing community is so supportive of each other. I said I was jealous of Eric, and maybe I am a little bit, but you know, it's all in good fun simply because he lives not probably about an hour away from me, and we met up at a bar in December, I think. Great guy, but one of the things that I found is that authors, like you said, are so supportive of each other because we all know how hard it is. And, you know, people like David McCluskey, you know, sometimes all it takes is for you to reach out to them because they're willing to talk to you. They want to talk to you because, you know, it's good, you know, it's good for them, it's good for you, and it's good for the writing community as a whole. So that's been one of the things that I found has been really good. I mean, Jack Carr is phenomenal about answering people on Instagram. I've talked to him a couple times, and he is just so supportive. When I had the book published, and I meant this totally sincerely, you know, Brad Thor has been, you know, Brad Thor and Vince Flynn, but since Vince Flynn has passed, Brad Thor has really been an inspiration to me and, you know, in writing. And I told him that in a Facebook video, and, you know, he reposted it. He did not have to do that. It was such a kind thing for him to do, but it does go to show how supportive the community is.
Just be sincere.
Exactly.
You know, if you're not, there's a lot of people out there, and you spot them a million miles away.
Oh, yeah.
And all they want to do is they want to make money. They want to do this. They want to do that. And yeah, it's a business. Writing a book is a business in a way. You know, once you hit the Jack Carr status, the Brad Taylors, the Brad Thors and everything, you have a lot of other people relying on your product as well. You can't really delay it. You can't, you know, keep finessing that initial press because you have deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, and Jack is, I do give so much. I'm actually wearing a Jack Carr hat right now for the listeners out there. But the thing is, he's always very responsive, but he's always out there doing, he's always out there promoting, he's always out there doing a lot of good things, but they're authentic and they're sincere.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I don't fault anybody for doing that. It's there's a few outliers. I don't think I've ever had them on the show. I don't think I will because I know who they are.
Right.
And it's all about the product. It's all about the brand. It's not about being realistic and being a real person.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, I mean, the world is built on relationships, right? It doesn't matter if you're a border agent, an author, a podcaster, working in corporate America. I mean, you have to have good relationships with people in order to be successful in anything. So, you know, and I think authors take that a little bit more personally. And I mean that in a good way because, we when we're writing characters, we have to be very sensitive to how that person thinks. So the more authentic a person you are, I think the more authentic people you deal with, it's going to make for a much better protagonist. And if they come across a person that's a real jerk to them, guess what? You're going to end up being a villain that gets killed, and usually in a very aggressive way. Let's put it that way.
Getting vested in a character is absolutely imperative, especially if you want a continuing series. And the surrounding and outlying characters, they can't just be one-dimensional. It's like 3D, 4D warfare when it comes to these books. You really need to build a complete world. It's like my son plays the video games, you know, and back in the day, I'd like the open world ones. Just because I want to see the whole world. And it's the same thing with these books, is I want to see what else is going on in that world. If you have an agency operative, who's he working with from DOD? Mm-hmm. Who's he working with from state? How do all these people intermingle? Who is the protagonist? Who is the antagonists? Are there multiple antagonists? Are there multiple protagonists? I like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's where, I feel like, you know, Vince Flynn was so good at it. I mean, cause if you look at, you know, a lot of Flynn's plot lines, they're not overly complicated, you know, compared to some of the authors in the genre, you know, Le Carre or Clancy or somebody like that, but he really nailed it on making people vested in the characters. He made the villains and the politicians. I mean, he made you hate them so bad that you were just drooling for Mitch Rapp to either kill him or put him in the place. And then when it happened, it was like this, I hope this word is okay to use, but orgasmic release that when it finally happened. And that's what kept you coming back. So that's why I really consider, you know, Vince Flynn to really be the master in my mind. And, you know, I try to do that as much as I can in Lion's Den with some of the characters. But, you know, there's only one Vince Flynn, but we all try and, you know, emulate him as much as we can.
Well, let's talk about surviving the Lion's Den. Who is the protagonist?
The protagonist is Kirk Carruthers. He is an Iranian American, or he has Iranian descent, but he was born in America, and his parents died in a car crash early on in life. And he was raised by his grandfather, and his grandfather was actually involved in the 1953 coup that the CIA was responsible for in deposing Mohammad Mossadegh. And one of the things that I did in the book was, you know, I made this elite, group of people with the Revolutionary Guard who were going out and hunting the people who are involved in this. And, you know, once his grandfather gets killed, Kirk goes over and to try and get revenge, but he comes involved in something that he certainly didn't plan on. Now I've got, my CIA character, Tom DeLange, who gets kidnapped and is taken from Saudi Arabia into Iran. So, one of the things I try to do with this book is, you know, the DeLange character, the plot really can't exist without him. But you see the everything through Kirk's eyes, and that was very much intentional because I wanted people to be able to identify with somebody that, you know, they could easily live next door to, because he's going to be your eyes and ears in Iran, and he's going to be the one who, you know, has, you know, his opinions and judgment about what's going on with, you know, the Ayatollah regime and what it's like for people to live under that. So that was really my motivation in having, you know, the average Joe type character, you know, be the protagonist. But obviously Tom DeLange is, he's the big dog.
That's going to be interesting. I'm going to pick it up, start reading some more of it. The thing is this going to be a continuing series? Book one, book two, book three?
Yeah, it is. Second book, The Iranian Deception, comes out in June. And the third novel, The Ayatollah Takedown, I just finished the first draft of, so working on some edits. I think it'll come out early next year. But a little bit of a preview for book two. There is a character in Surviving the Lions named Ben Thrasher. He is going to be the protagonist in that book just because I found something in that character that just made him a lot of fun. He's a very emotional character, very insecure in a way. And he was fun to play with. And you will see Kirk Carruthers in it. He'll have a little bit of a diminished role. But I did that intentionally simply because I've seen a lot of authors, you know, start out with one protagonist and keep using him. You know, he'll start out as an average Joe. Then he'll join the agency. Then he becomes the agent. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of been done. And I felt like, you know, Kirk's journey kind of came to a close once he got some answers with regards to his grandfather. But I have gotten a lot of good feedback on Kirk, so I didn't forget about him. He's going to be in there. But when book two starts, I think you're really going to like Ben Thrasher because he was a lot of fun to write.
I tell you, there is so much you can do with a lever action rifle. Head over to RangerPointPrecision.com right now, enter code PROTECTORS, and get 15% off all those awesome upgrades to your Rossi, to your Marlin, to your Henry, to your Winchester. Ranger Point Precision is the absolute must-go-to to upgrade your lever-action rifle, and they have been gracious enough to support this show for the past few months. Head over to RangerPointPrecision.com, and don't forget, use code PROTECTORS for 15% off. I always love these names. Ben Thrasher, Matt Scott. It's really cool, man. So you're really, I mean, is this going to be like your next career? I mean, you've been in logistics for a while. Do you want to just like, boom, one day it's like, you know what? I am now a bona fide thriller. You are a bona fide thriller writer, but like, you know what? You want to be like, hey, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the dream is to become the next Brad Thor, Vince Flynn, Jack Carr, Brad Taylor, Mark Greene, David Baldacci. You know, that's the dream. So, you know, we got to see how things go with this, you know, with the 3-book deal. You know, like you mentioned earlier, like, you know, it's a slow build. You know, when I originally signed my contract, I was thinking, you know, it was more, kind of like a movie release, right? You want to make as much money as you can on the first couple of weeks. And then, you know, it kind of like dwindles off, but it's not like that in the publishing industry. You really have to build up. So I'm kind of dependent on, you know, the Goodreads reviews, the Amazon reviews, and to see how sales go. And you just, you keep hustling, you keep marketing, and you keep putting it out there. But so far, as long as I keep getting good reviews, I intend to keep doing it. But I do have to evaluate things a little bit after book three, just to kind of see where I am. But you know, when I started this novel, in the idea for it came in 2018, and this is a true story. I was 39 at the time. I drove to Williamsburg, Virginia, to meet David Baldacci. He was doing a book signing at William and Mary College, and I went up to him when it was my turn at the table, shook his hand, and I was like, "Look, I'm getting ready to be 40 next year. Is that too old to write your first novel?" And I kid you not, he stopped mid-signature, looks up at me like this, and says, "Hell no. The industry could use some good young writers." Now, I didn't know if I should be happier that this legendary man in the industry was telling me to go forth with my mythic destiny, or he thought 40 was still considered young. But either way, I had no excuses after that point. I came home, started writing it, and you know, the rest is downhill, but it was the purest thing I think I've ever done. And it really felt like I had found my calling. So I certainly hope that it's going to be my next full-time career, but you know, time will tell.
You know what, Matt? I needed to hear that. As I grew up, you know, we're both in our 40s. I'm getting so close to 50, and I'm like, am I old? Am I young? No. Am I middle-aged? What am I anymore? And I don't feel like that. And when you said that, I'm like, you know what? That really, I'm so glad you said that, man. That made my day, brother.
Good, man. Yeah. You're not old, man. You still got it going on. You know, you're a border agent. You got good stories. You got a podcast. You're looking good. You're
looking
a healthy
good and
young
feeling
man.
Good, brother.
You're a healthy young man, man.
I appreciate that. Let's do something new with the Protectors. When I talk to authors, I want to start throwing out some top 5 questions that I have. Because, you know, there's so many different, I can go and I get your bio and everything else like that. I do want people to say, take a pause right now, head over to Amazon and pick up Surviving the Lion's Den by Matt Scott. Now, is this going to be available at local bookstores as well?
Right now, it's just Amazon for hard copy, and then it can get e-readers everywhere. So once, you know, sales get to the point where it can be in local bookstores, you know, I'm going to be the first one going in there, and I'm going to videotape. I sure as how old I am, right? Video myself buying a book in the bookstore. So, but you never know. You know, I'm getting ready to take a trip to Hawaii, and you know, I'm kind of hopeful that, you know, maybe I'll see somebody reading it on the beach, and you know, those are the kind of things that warms your heart, Jason. You know, anything can happen. So.
Bring some books with you, because a lot of airports now have like a leave a book, take a book.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still doing it with COVID, but they might. I used to do that with my book. It's like, leave them in the airport.
Yeah.
Like in the give a book, take a book. But everybody, check out Surviving the Lion's Den now by Matt Scott. Now, let's do this. Top 5 questions. And I just came up with these out of my ass. So anyway, absent Vince Flynn, what is your favorite thriller author growing up? Not in the past, not 30s, not 20s. We're going to go back to growing up. I'll give you 20s.
Okay, so I may have to plead no contest on this one, because I did not become a big reader until I was probably 25. It was Dan Brown, because of the Da Vinci Code phenomenon. Mm-hmm. They made me read so many novels that I just did not care about in high school and college, then it just, you know, the mandatory reading kind of turned me off to it. But when the Da Vinci Code phenomenon happened, I went out and got every Dan Brown book that was published. So that'll be my answer. But I wish I could give you a better one for growing up, but I just didn't read
it. No, Dan Brown's perfect, man. That's a good one. That's a good one. Your favorite thriller action movie? And I should probably say 80s or 90s because, you know, your favorite 90s action or thriller?
Got to go with Hunt for Red October.
Boom. Very relevant now. Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
Did that ship really sink off the coast? We don't know.
Love that movie. I rewatched that movie so many times. It drives my wife crazy, but I can't get enough of it. It was such a good adaptation from book to movie, and it was, you know, understandable. It wasn't like, you know, the plot for Mission Impossible 1, which, you know, you can follow now, but at the time it was confusing, but it was so realistic, so good.
Mm-hmm. I agree, brother. Your biggest influencer right now? For writing.
I still have to go with Brad Thor, because I still read his novels religiously, and, you know, for the writing purpose. And then I got to go with Jack on the way he hustles and tries to promote it. I mean, he's just an all around nice guy. And you take those two and you combine them, you've got a phenomenon.
And that brings us up to the next question, because Jack Carr, Terminal is coming out, Chris Pratt. Yes. Who would be the leading actor in surviving the Lion's Den movie or limited TV series?
Let's see here. For Tom DeLonge, I got to go with Patrick Wilson, because I love the Conjuring series. And Patrick Wilson is also from Norfolk, Virginia, which is my home area.
Oh, so, there we go.
Kirk Carruthers is a little harder, because you have to have someone from have an Asian background. So you have to do some really good casting calls for that one. But I can't remember the actor's name, but he was in the most recent Mortal Kombat movie. And if you put some longer hair on him, he's kind of what I had in mind.
Zombies. Last question. Zombies. This is going to be a good one. I think you're going to like this. You may not. Who knows? I've thrown this one out there a bunch of times, but it's like really one of my favorite questions. You're in a field, 100-yard radius. You're on a hill. There's 90 zombies. You can have a shotgun with unlimited ammo, but as soon as you fire the shot, the zombies come towards you because they're you know, boom. They hear sound, they go towards it. They want to feed. Shotgun, unlimited ammo. A 22 caliber rifle with 100 rounds, no silencer. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? I'll give you 1,000 rounds for that 22. No silencer, though. So you can keep reloading as much as you want. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, once you fire that bullets, boom, they're coming at you.
Yeah.
Or you got 90 rounds, 90 zombies, and you can have an M4 with the best suppressor on it. Nobody could hear it, but you never know. What if you make a noise and they all start coming at you? But you have optics on it. So what are you going to take?
Okay. Wow.
And how good of a shot are you?
That's probably a good question for my dad, because I always go shooting with him. I'm actually gonna go with the M4. Yeah, because I think, you know, I've got a good enough confidence in my shooting ability to knock off enough of them that even for the ones that I miss, I can go hand to hand and start cold cocking some of them and just take my chances. But you know, if I'm going out, I'm going out in a blaze of glory. Nobody's gonna do it freely or easily on me.
There it is, the M4 for Matt Scott. Matt, I appreciate you coming on. Everybody, make sure you pick up a copy of Surviving the Lion's Den by Matt Scott now on Amazon and on all your e-readers too. So, I mean, because now you could read books on your phone and they're not that bad. So please check out Surviving the Lion's Den. Matt, I do appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
I appreciate it, man. And one thing I want to mention to you before we go is on your bio, I noticed that you're Six Sigma certified, and
I am.
So am I. And I will say, for all the the listeners out there and people who aspire to be a writer, being Six Sigma certified can really help you when you're trying to write a novel, because it makes you think of that end-to-end process. You got to think about everything that goes on in the middle. So it doesn't sound very flattering, but it certainly helps.
I am a green belt, my friend. Now, but I do want to couple on that too, is like, that is one of the reasons my podcasts are anywhere from 20 minutes to 50 minutes to an hour, because I cut out bullshit. I don't like it. I don't like I don't like little things in there. Everything to me is always like the bottom line up front in process improvement. And I think it does. And you know what? You make a damn good point. I think it bleeds over into the podcast.
It does. It really does, because you have to, you know, if your product isn't good from end to end, then what's the point? It doesn't matter if it's a podcast or a book or whatever. You have to be able to think of everything, and you have to create efficiencies and eliminate waste. And these are all Six Sigma terms, everybody. I'm sorry to confuse everybody, but you know, when you get green belt certified or even black belt certified, these are the things that, you know, they kind of, you know, beat into you. But
champions, process improvement, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So, but where do we find,
you know, where do we find you on social media too? I want to get that out there.
You can find me on Facebook. You can friend me on Facebook. I don't have like a group page. I do all my interactions by friend, and on Instagram and Twitter at Matt Scott Books. If you really want to reach me, Instagram is probably the best. I'm not Twitter is just not my favorite medium. Instagram and Facebook are usually the best. And like Jack Carr, if you message me, I will get back to you. I take all of my fans and all of my readers very seriously, because without you guys, you know, I don't have a product.
Boom.